my dear brother Bruce Bell. We're looking forward to hearing what you might have for us here today. And we know that it will be God's Word. We come here to search out and to listen for God's Word. We come here to worship. I like that song. It's a good song.
There's many times when I pray here publicly, and I know in the comments that I've made, I've mentioned that God is righteous and holy in everything He does. And He is, it is true. Mm-hmm. And I knew there was a verse that I first saw that. It just so happens that this week I finished reading a book by John Flavel. It was called The Mystery of Providence. And this verse came to mind. And it's Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. So as I thought about that verse, I'm finishing this book, and you know those Puritans, when they wrote on a topic like that, they got down to the absolute bottom of it. I mean, they take it to the mat, and they look at it just about every way you can imagine. So I'm thinking on this verse, and really, throughout the week, as I had memorized it, and every single word, really, it just as every word in the book, it's very pure. But I started thinking, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. So I wondered, well, what are all His ways? And holy in all His works. And as I thought about it, of course, John 14:6 came to my mind. It's a verse that has always been significant to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way. Mm-hmm. There's no other way. Right. There are Christians that think, or I should say there's people who believe they're Christians who think that that Jesus is not the only way. And one reason that verse has stuck out to me is because it's very exclusive. It's not inclusive, which is the word for today. Everybody wants to, well, not everybody, but these far left people and these liberal minded folks, they want everybody to be inclusive. So I started thinking, well, okay, what are the ways of the Lord? So what I do is I go to Blue Letter Bible or I go to eSword and I look up ways. Just put that word in and print out all the verses that have that word in there and I start reading. And I do that with a lot of phrases. The other day when I gave a message on the heart and there was 833 verses with that word in it.
Yeah.
That's a lot. There's not too many verses, not too many words that have more usage than that. There are some. Now, righteous and righteousness are pretty close to the same meaning. I have to believe that righteous is the root word for righteousness. Now, I don't know what it is in Hebrew or Greek. I just know English. And so when I read that word in the Old Testament scriptures or the New Testament scriptures, it means the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And righteous, I actually carry in my little, it's what I call a wallet now. It's kind of
You don't really put money in it. You got a card that represents money. And so I've got a little thing in here that I laminated. It's the definition of righteousness. I've pretty well memorized it, but I've really enjoyed thinking about it. And it's purity of heart and rectitude of life. And that word rectitude means in exact accordance with truth. Exact accordance with truth. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Well, as I was looking at how that word is used, uh, 13 times in the scriptures, a number of times, more often it's in Deuteronomy. And I'll just read Deuteronomy 5:33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. 13 times when the word ways is used, talking about God's ways, it's connected to his commands or commandments.
Yeah. Do this and live.
That's it. That's it. And so when I think of the Lord is righteous in all his ways are always in accordance with his nature. They can't ever be outside of that nature. It's who he is. It's his very being. And he's righteous. Always. Cannot do anything unrighteous. And then his works. In short, I see his works as the providence of God. And it's everything.
Yeah.
That building that collapsed, that was the providence of God.
Yeah.
Those that escaped it, that was the providence of God. Those that didn't, that was the providence of God. Everything that happens to us every day is the providence of God. It's his work. And can you think about that? Prior to creation, there was no works.
Right.
There was nothing to work. The Godhead was, the Father and the Son were completely in harmonious union with each other. The Father sees the Son and sees himself in the Son. The Son sees the Father and sees himself in the Father. I mean, it's amazing. But there was nothing. It was holy, it was righteous, and then there came creation, the works of God. And you know, it's an amazing thing to me that God is not affected by time. We are.
Yeah.
And he sees it all, and he's working it out exactly as he would do it. So this connection between the ways of God and his commands or his commandments. And I thought of the Ten Commandments. There's nothing wrong with those commandments. All ten of them. They all are a reflection of our holy and righteous God. And that's why he gave these to us. They're to instruct us, to guide us. And if people would do it, and of course Jesus brought it all down to two commandments. And if people were to do that, the world would be a great place. I mean, I'm glad to be alive. I enjoy it. Always have. But as JT mentioned, and we all see this all the time, the world is deteriorating. Society is deteriorating more and more. We hear about it. Even in Houston now.
Yeah.
It's almost like Chicago as far as deaths go.
Mm-hmm.
And they say New York and Los Angeles, the crime rate is rising. Portland, I saw it was like 800% over a year or two.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And that's because people are rejecting the ways of God, rejecting His commandments. The door is being shut on
them. Right. Yeah.
Now, with the commands, I kind of marvel at this. Let's go to Isaiah 58:13. Because one of those commands that He gave us happens to be about the Sabbath. And people want to argue whether or not there's even a Sabbath anymore. But let's read that 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, it's not our day, it's His day. And yeah. He calls it a holy day. I would say that's significant. If God calls something holy, who would be wise to call it not holy?
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what's happening. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's a big mistake to think that one of those Ten Commandments that He gave, which is a reflection of His ways, reflection of Himself, to think that that is no longer a valid commandment. I bring it up fairly often, well, a number of times, because I do marvel at it, and I really think in our day, today, that's one of the judgments that's fallen on this nation.
Yeah.
People are out there today doing their own thing. Or they may attend a worship service to get it out of the way. And they go out and follow to a ball game, fish, whatever it is, their own way, thinking, you know, it's okay. It's not a holy day like it was back in the day of Moses and back in the day of prophets. But I disagree with that. And in fact, I just saw this, I think, within the last week, maybe 2 weeks. But I guess there's, it taxes a desire for some talk of allowing liquor sales to begin at 10 in the morning instead of, you know, on the Lord's Day. The stores have to wait till noon in order to sell beer or wine. But now they want to drop it down to 10 o'clock. And you go to some states, like Iowa, it doesn't matter what time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the grocery store and buy liquor, which you can't do that in Texas. Now, but they try to change that also. And again, it's changing what God said, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy.
Well, He made the Sabbath for man, so.
Yes, He did.
It's for Him.
For Him, right.
And for His welfare.
And it's our, for our benefit. It's, you know, I know things have changed in this world since the Industrial Revolution. A man used to have to get up and work all day, all daylight. And then come home and he's wore out.
Yeah.
And so Sunday, the Lord's Day, was a day of rest and a day to think about God. Well, it's a little different today, but still, this is the day that we devote to the Lord. Supposed to be. Let's go to Isaiah just 64:5. I guess I'm going to start with verse 4, though, chapter 64. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waited for him. And that same verse is also in the New Testament scripture. Mm-hmm. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuous, and we shall be saved.
People aren't thinking about the ways of God. They're forgetting about God. And God's bringing the judgment. And that's what happened with Israel. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I probably thought about maybe the last 2 weeks. But the nation of Israel was the only nation that God dealt with. They were his people. But it was a remnant that were really his people. They were all called, but they weren't all chosen.
Right.
And today, the people who sit and can go to church, or the people that see the churches and they have an idea of the gospel. Maybe they don't really know the gospel, but they know some parts of it. Well, they're called. Doesn't mean they're chosen. It's the saved of the Lord. It's the redeemed of the Lord who are chosen. And so today, as Brother Paul mentioned many, many times, we don't see the outpouring of the Spirit. We don't see people being, or droves of people being saved. Like back in the Apostle Paul's day, or even before his day, right after the ascension of Christ, 3,000 were added to the church.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a judgment of God on this nation, on this world. But I remember hearing years ago, Europe spiritually is dead.
Yeah.
Has been dead for a long time. Tons of churches over there that have been converted to other things because people aren't worshiping God. That's happening here. I know the church in Conroe. It was a neat little church. Then it became an attorney's office. People bought them and turned them into homes. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And again, there's that connection between walking in the ways of God and keeping his commandments. They are a reflection of who God is. I don't know. I was thinking about this morning, and I don't know if there's a word that best describes or the most concise word to describe God. Holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's twice in the scriptures that phrase is given, and you don't find too many times in the scriptures where a word is repeated three times like that. It must be important to know. He's holy,
and he's righteous in everything, then nothing that comes from him. And we'll see later. In fact, we will end up talking a little bit about judgment. You know, I actually tried to find one of those free grace broadcasters that was the topic of that edition. I did not find one. Maybe there is, but I'd like to read that simply because what I see happening in this country, again, you know, that it was, what, 10 days ago, 11 days ago, when that condo fell. And I'm sure everybody's thought about it. And wants to know, you know, hoping that they'll find survivors. Now we're talking about demolishing the part that's standing.
Yeah.
Because it's so precarious. You know, what a tragedy that is. And things like that happen. And it's of God.
Yeah.
But he's just in doing it. He's absolutely just. He can't do anything but be just and do it. It's just amazing to me who God is and how, I don't know, he is the most desirable being that there is. And he's going to share, he is sharing himself with us right now. We have life. That's of God.
Yeah.
That's a reflection of God. You think about the universe, how big it is. It's a reflection of our God. We've got Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee as holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And again, walking in his ways and his commandments. If a person wants to please God, if a person wants to learn about God, keep his commandments. Find out what he has commanded us. What has he said in his word? And obey it. And you go right back to the garden. And God told Adam what he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was very simple.
Yeah.
It was so simple. One commandment. And he did good. Neither did he. They did good. And look around. Now it's a cursed earth. And now we work by the sweat of our brow.
Although
I sit behind a desk in an air conditioned building. You know,
it's repetition that gets me work.
Well, that's true. That's true. Sometimes people jack with the thermostat, but how interesting is that? The Lord shall establish thee as holy people unto himself.
Yeah.
I mean, if a person is saved, if a person is part of the church, it's for God. He does that for him. It's primarily for him. I mean, he's the supreme being. He is the one who created, and he has a purpose. I'm grateful, and I hope and I'm sure everybody who is a child of God is eternally grateful for what God has done. If he hadn't done it, we wouldn't be saved. He leads to us, and that's what. That is what's happening in our nation. Joshua, just right over, in fact, I'm reading through Joshua right now. I think I'm in chapter 5.
Joshua 22:5.
I was thinking of this earlier, JT, when you were talking, because we are to be diligent. We are to heed. We can't do it by ourselves. 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And again, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. And there's a connection between his ways and obeying his commandments. They haven't gone away. They're not going to go away. It'll still be true when it's a new heaven and a new earth. His word does not change. It does not go away. And you just have to wonder why it is that some of the noted theologians the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, is no longer a commandment. I mean, they still hold services on the Lord's Day. But I guess they don't think they have to. I don't really know. They don't have to look this verse up. You know, one of the things that I do when I sit in front of that computer, you can put a number of different words in there and see if there's a verse that has all the words in it. And sometimes there is, sometimes there's not. But Isaiah 48:17, listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And you know that phrase right there is used quite a few times in the scripture. Holy One of Israel. Always talking about God, of course. The Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. The way. And he does. And this is the way. Jesus said he was the way. I've always, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I just, those three characteristics, there's three things, there's three nouns. The way, the truth, and the life. I mean, they're so profound, so deep, so simple in a way. But that's the way of the truth. It's simply profound. So there was that verse had all these words, holy, way, and God, in that one verse. And there's some others. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it's verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. All his ways are judgment.
Yeah.
Everything he does. I mean, and judgment is it's the act or process of the mind comparing its ideas for agreement or disagreement. Well, so God judges an act against a standard. His standard.
Yeah.
And he sets the standard, and that standard will be righteous. It will be holy. It
can't. The bottom line.
Yeah, you're right. It's an account. I can say that. Yeah, the bottom line. In everything. And that's why, you know, when it's just the things that we see, the news that gets reported, some real tragedy. Just evil down there.
Yeah.
And
it's providential. It can be evil. It is. There's a lot of evil, and God brings it. And it all falls to sin. Sin. That's the issue. Is sin. And sin. You know, what Adam and Eve did there was just as bad as what Stalin did to his people. You know, the millions of people that he starved.
Yeah.
That was sin. And it all came out of that very first sin, that unleashed the depravity of man. It just shows. It seems to me, you know, we're not necessarily at war everywhere, but so much of what we are seeing happening. It's just like being in war.
Yeah.
And yet, it's in our own soil, in our own country. You don't know. I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I don't drive with my windows down anymore. You know, something might come flying through it at me. At least with the glass, that might be deflected a little bit. But, I mean, it's happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. Another word, when I think of ways, all his ways, God's ways, is paths. A path or a way. Almost the same thing. A little bit different, I suppose. It's like sin and iniquity. There is a difference there, but they seem to be almost interchangeable. It's like righteousness and holiness.
Mm-hmm.
They are a little bit different, but they're so close that they're pretty much interchangeable. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a great verse that is. But thou wilt show me the path of life. Well, what is that path of life? That's keeping his commandments. Had Adam and Eve done that in the garden, that one commandment, and then taken the fruit of the tree of life, that had lived forever. That was the path. And, you know, we can't do that now, except we do that by reading his word, by being obedient. And learning about him. I'm so grateful that when I come home from the day at work, that's what I'll do, is read a little bit. Or in the mornings, when I get up a little bit early so I can read his word. I do it every morning. And it's such a blessed time. It's peaceful. It's quiet. I get to do it every morning. I get my coffee. That's when I get my coffee. But he's put that in me to do that. And he doesn't do that for everyone. But he did it for me. And I'm grateful. You know, I worship him and thank him every day that I can do that. It's his word. He's put me on the right path. Let's go over to Psalm 23, one we know pretty well. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. And it's for his name's sake. Just as we read earlier about, you know, God making us a people for himself. For himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's I really marvel at that. I marvel that you can't say time because it hadn't been created yet, but there was this, you know, the Godhead who there came a moment when he created, and he was creating these things to share himself with, to enjoy for eternity. And what are that? We're part of that. We're doing it now. But we'll be doing it without end.
Eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, our holy, righteous God is the one who's doing this. And you know, people have a difficult time believing that about him because of some of these tragedies and things that happen. And what they don't realize, and you never hear attribute the reason for it, is sin. It's sin. I mean, so you take a child who's only 2 years old, and something horrible happens to him. You know, it's still because of sin. People have a big time or a hard time thinking that that child was a sinner. But he is. He was. Just like we were. You know, those are difficult things or hard things to maybe have to grasp them. But yet, it's true. And as I think we'll find out, God's unclonable. A lot of times I've used the phrase, you know, the highest reach, reference somewhere. I was talking about numbers, the highest reach of numbers, which I don't know, you know, every atom in the universe, that's a pretty high number. I don't know if we can come up with it, they probably have, but at any rate, so I thought, you know, a better term to use is the highest, unbounded. You know, God is unbounded love. He's unbounded righteousness. He's unbounded holiness. You can't be measured. You can almost say God's out of bounds, in a way. Then he is. You can't contain him. Although Jesus Christ was God had bought him. So he was total God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Psalm 25:10. We didn't do that. No. Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same thing as his ways. These paths, these ways that all lead to obedience to God, to honoring God, to loving God, to trusting God, to have faith in God. And we live in a time when, you know, more and more, the things that are happening, the rumblings that we hear. I mean, I think about it all the time and wonder what's down the road. What's going to happen today? I wake up, and usually one of the first things I do is I go to an app on my phone that gives news throughout the day I just want to see what happened while I was sleeping. Just like that building, you know, that was 1:30 in the morning when that thing started.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, you know, storms come late at night, early in the morning. What happened? Because it seems to me this world is deteriorating. Look what's happened in Afghanistan. We've been over there for 20 years. We didn't accomplish anything.
Those boys died.
I know. It makes me mad. It really does. I don't think we had any business doing it. We did. Now, here's something that I found interesting. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. I noticed this when I was looking at all these words. Isaiah chapter 2, and it's verse 3. And this same verse, almost word for word, is found in Micah. Awesome. Almost word for word. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So there's, you know, a verse that teaches both his ways and paths. And again, it's the work of God. It's like we read in Philippians. It is God who is working in us. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here. We'd be doing our own thing. So, again, that's one reason I attribute his ways and paths as being almost the same thing. Now, I said that when I read that Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. That's, you know, everything that happens that we see are his works. And that whether it's, it can be good or evil. He brings evil. He brings evil for a purpose. And just, you know, you look at Israel and see what they went through. And they deserved it. God warned them. You mentioned it earlier. He warned them and warned them and warned them. Mm-hmm. And they continued on doing it their way.
Yeah.
And that's another interesting, that would be a whole new another message, but you know, scriptures talk about men doing their own thing, doing it their way, and Israel trying to do it their way. They're doing it now their way. And I wonder from time to time, I watch a program or an app almost every day on Israel, and you know, that they have half of this book. They've got their the Old Testament scriptures. And I wonder, what do they think? You know, they haven't had a temple for 2,000 years. They just recently got their nation. But don't they see that what happened is they disobeyed God and led them into captivity, and then when he finally led them out, think it that way for hundreds of years, did not have a country, didn't have a king. What do they think? I mean, I don't really know. Let's go to Psalm 28. Start with verse 1, we'll read down through verse Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to their wickedness, to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their deserve, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up.
Now, if you think about that today, people not ascribing to God these things that he does, I mean, how wonderful it is we go to the grocery store and have all this variety of food.
Yeah.
How convenient. Or you think about, I was talking about this yesterday, indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
What a blessing that is.
Yeah.
How wonderful it is. Or turn on the air. Our vehicles. I mean, there's so many. There's countless. How many breaths we take during the day. It's all attributed to God. And we need to be thankful to God for all these things. I mean, it's impossible to name everything because there's just so much.
Yeah.
There's so much. And I mentioned this earlier, you know, Tuesday when I got up, I started my truck. I couldn't believe the noises that it was making. I think I was on some stuff. I drove out of the neighborhood. I finally had to pull over. I thought, because you hear about this, it's happening. People stealing catalytic converters. They have platinum or palladium in them, and they get a couple hundred dollars for these things. I thought, yeah, somebody stole my catalytic. I looked. I mean, I didn't get down on the ground, but I checked it out as best I could. Ended up going to work, coming home. I sounded horrible. People looking at you. And turned out it was the exhaust manifold had a weld in there, cracked. So, praise God, it was covered by the warranty, so it didn't cost me anything to get that done. But I had just finished that book on Providence and was thinking, okay, what can I do? Can't get mad. You just like, all right. Turned out okay. But our lives are filled with that kind of thing. And everybody's in it. And I thank God that I know that it came from him. And so you bow to it. And I hope, you know, if something worse comes, I go home and someone stole my trailer or a tree fell over on me. In fact, you know, my lot was vacant for 4 years because that's what happened. And what I noticed the other day, there's a lot of glass that's coming to the surface now that's probably from the broken windows of that trailer. Because it was a new trailer, the tree fell down on it, ruined it. It must have broken some of the glass, and they just didn't clean it up. And it's now coming up to the surface. I'm not saying that because that happens. And that's one reason I don't have insurance on it. What are you going to insure? Against God? I think he wants to destroy it, he'll destroy it. I'll just, okay. I don't know if that's
the way I think about it.
A psalm that's familiar to us is Psalm 107.
I don't want to read the whole psalm. It is good.
But this phrase is used in it five times. And again, talking about the works of God. Verse 8 is the first time that it's used. It's five other times, the exact same verse. Oh, and the psalm is talking about these things that God has done. War is painful. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful words to the children of men. And that's to everybody. Let me think about a nation like, Pakistan, Afghanistan, any of those kind of things, where the people have a godless religion. And they worship another god.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make you worship another god. That's the point of the man.
Yeah.
But guess what? God feeds them. Gives them clothes. Gives them peace. I mean, they have had a lot of war and everything, but his goodness, he's good to everybody. They have food to eat. They have air to breathe. All those things. But they're his enemies. He's good to them. They don't acknowledge him. They acknowledge some other a false god. Just like people do in this country. And just move over a couple of psalms to Psalm 11. 11. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And it is interesting reading through the Psalms and reading through the Old Testament scriptures how often the writer refers back to God delivering his people out of Egypt. Over and over and over again, he reminds Israel what God has done for them. And it's true for us too, and you know, we didn't go through that, but he brought all of us out of Egypt, so to speak. Brought us into the promised land, so to speak.
Yeah.
And hopefully we see his hand in all these things.
He told them to build a memorial that you might remember.
Right. 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 And you know, and that's what happens with us a lot of times. That's what happened with Jeshua. You know, he got fat.
Yeah.
And kicked.
Yeah.
And forgot. And I think that's happened in our country. I think people have turned away from God. They've forgotten about God, become more secular. And it's increasing more and more. I mean, I'm confused. I was reading something yesterday, and you know, whenever they bring up these transsexuals, I was thinking, okay, so if they're calling this person is she, that means she's really a he, but they're calling it a she. You know, I just get kind of confused about it.
Yeah.
I can imagine, with, you know, if you're a 5 or 6 year old child growing up. Just, it's kind of confusing. It's just. And finally, I did skip over. I want to go to Daniel chapter.
Go where from?
Daniel chapter 4.
Daniel.
Yeah. Chapter 4 to me is one of the most interesting chapters in all of the Bible, because the entire chapter is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. It's him speaking. And
Holy Spirit is the greatest secular prince that ever has been. A man who was fierce and had conquered pretty much the known world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And got humble. And I do believe that Nebuchadnezzar died a child of God. But here's what he says in the very end, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, and you know the story, you know, God gave him the nature of a beast.
You know,
took away his own understanding. I mean, God could do that. He made that ass be. He could have raised up stones that would have praised Jesus. But he's humble Nebuchadnezzar. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose words are true and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You know, everything we do is either for the glory of God or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to do everything for the glory of God. And I know there's been times where I've had a choice to make, and I took the choice over here and not the one that might have been reading my Bible instead of going over here and doing this. And this over here would have honored God. This was just something I wanted to do. I mean, we're like little babies in a way. I mean, that little baby, he knows one thing, it's what he wants. And he will pitch a fit until you give him what he wants.
Yeah.
He don't care about anything, he's not shy. And we do the same thing as adults. The same thing. And it won't be until that last day. Go over to chapter 9, verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. So, you know, our Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in his ways, holy in his works. Well, here, you know, Daniel was saying he's righteous in his works.
Yes.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's righteous in his ways, he's righteous in his works, he's holy in his ways, and he's holy in his works. You know, God is righteous and leads us into righteousness if we obey him. And I thank God that that's true. I thank God for that day that he began a work in me, and I know he hasn't stopped it.